Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
That second office building is near 20th Street and Indian School Road in Phoenix.
There was a witness who rents space in this place who says he has seen kids for as long as 2 years, young kids bathing in sinks.
Senate Assistant Minority Leader Steve Farley speaking in front of that building today.
It's clear he saw people going back and forth, 5 to 50 kids being taken in vans and being moved in and out of this place.
Like the other building, this one has dark tinted windows, no outdoor playground, and is near a busy street.
Well, that doesn't sound like a fun place for a child to be that has been taken away from their parents. So we're finding more out about what's happening right here in the Valley with immigrant children being treated poorly. Being treated poorly at these detention centers. Let's call them what they are. I mean, if you've got a kid, if you've got a baby, and the only place to bathe that child is a public restroom inside of an office, that's horrible.
That's not a place for children.
You're not.
But you don't
prepared.
Have a place, right? You don't have a place. You don't have a backup plan.
Yeah.
You are warehousing children in office buildings, and I don't care if they're from another country or not. It's
right.
Wrong.
Yeah. And if you think it's okay, think if you want your child bathed in a place where hundreds of people go and wash their hands.
Well, remember.
Really?
Remember the outrage that people had when the former CPS, now DCS. We found out that there were so many kids in foster care that they were
sleeping on tables,
sleeping on office furniture in offices because they didn't have enough beds or they didn't have enough facilities.
So babies are being bathed in office restroom sinks.
I got to tell you, this is, and I can't, it's not Watergate. It's not going to get the president impeached. But there are so many things that are going to come out about this. If that person is true, the clip you just played, that this witness has seen kids for years, that this just didn't start happening during when Trump announced the zero tolerance policy, how long has this been going on? Where were these kids held? And God forbid a kid dies in custody. God forbid. Because then there's going to be a crap storm like nobody has ever seen that you are going to see. Just a number of people saying, what are we doing as a country? Why did anybody ever agree to this? This is a horrible, horrible mistake.
There's a lot of things you can argue back and forth about with President Trump. Some people will argue, you know, a specific a thing that he's done, good or bad. There's really no argument for good here. There's not. You take kids away from their parents.
Not even a pragmatic
it's
argument.
It's evil. It's nasty. It's horrible. It was so bad that America, not just Democrats, not just independents, Republicans, Americans, turned on the president and said, this is horrible.
And
all the polls will show that. You go on social media, most people think that what happened here is an absolute disgrace.
And what and that was before we were finding out that there were facilities in Phoenix, that the children who have been reunited are now talking about. It's hard to sleep with the light shining on all night. Guards kicked their feet and kept them up. They were hungry. They were given frozen sandwiches, smelly food. Younger children kept in cages in one area, older children in another. No supervision. If there was supervision, and we've been over this, no touching, no consoling, no hugging. Just make sure they don't kill each other. I mean, that sounds more like a prison camp.
Yeah. Toilets were filthy. Running water was scarce. And even when parents are reunited with their children,
then there's a whole other host of problems.
Well, because you have trauma.
Right.
And the children, you know, haven't seen their parents in forever.
So they haven't bonded with their parents. So their parents, they have to the parents are like, I have to start all over again with this child.
Right. So we're finding out more about how the immigrant children are being treated. You're listening to the Big Four at Four, and Big Story One is all about immigrant children, and we're keeping them. Some of them here in Phoenix, we're possibly bathing them in restroom sinks. Kids are saying that it's too bright to sleep. I can't go outside. Get this. There are 70 kids under the age of one that have been summoned to immigration court.
1 year old.
How do you do that?
That's a great question.
You have a high chair ready? You have 70 high chairs ready for a court?
70 kids under the age of one.
Mm.
They are either staying with a sponsor or in foster care. Hello, foster care, which means the state is paying for it. They have to get the kids to court. And we've seen this before, that these parents or these caregivers are basically letting the judge talk to a one-year-old because the one-year-old doesn't have representation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird kabuki theater thing. But it has to be done. You have to establish in a court of law, public court, that the child made the appearance, the judge said whatever he needed to say, and that the child was there, and that it is, God, it's 70 kids under the age of one have been summoned for deportation proceedings. It's infuriating.
So what, do you have like a high chair with a baby there, and the judge says, do you understand where you are? How are you doing today?
Mm.
How old are you? Where are you from?
Kid may start crying. Kid may not understand.
6 months old.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid. The plan itself at the very beginning, and we heard about this plan. Do you remember?
We heard about a possible plan. Right, right. And we said it's horrible. Don't do it.
And no one would do this.
Right. This couldn't be true. Right.
To take children away from their parents. And Trump was the president. You know, he's newly elected. But we looked at each other and said, no one would okay this. Trump would not okay this. Well, he did okay it. And now you're dealing with the repercussions. You're dealing with a generation of children who are going to have trauma. By the way, you listening, you're paying for this. Your tax money's paying for this. So it was a bad business move. It was an evil, you know.
Morally, it was
moral
a bankrupt
evil.
Move.
Right, right. And that we just don't have. They just don't have the facilities.
Nor do they have the knowledge of how to. If you're going to do this, you've got to have structure and things in place. You've got to have an infrastructure and people knowledgeable and willing to do the job,
right,
to make sure these kids are safe.
What if they didn't stop the no tolerance? What if they continued?
I think about that every day. Are we going to find out that the program actually didn't stop?
I can't imagine.
I know, but don't put it past them, is my point.
But if it's bad now, imagine if America didn't get outraged.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump changed his mind, said, I'm not going with this anymore.
Yeah, we'll tell him we stopped, but you know what? Keep doing it.
I don't think so. I don't think you can do that. I think that people, well, you could, but I think people would find out. But imagine if America didn't get outraged and Trump didn't change his mind.
Right.
The situation now with the children, it's bad.
You'd have thousands of kids.
Allowed to continue.
Yeah, thousands.
Where are you gonna put them?
Right. Because it's not stopping people from coming here. It may stop some families, but it's not stopping people from coming here.
All right, you're listening to the Big 4 at 4. We take the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour. We bring you four big blockbuster stories, and still to come is Big Story 2, 3, and 4.
The Big 4 at 4. Big Story 2.
I would tell you that most people are very humble and apologetic, and they're not braggadocious. And I think, again, what is outrageous about this is just the temerity of Mr. Mosley to think that this is a good idea.
Hey, the director of DPS blasts the Leadfoot lawmaker, Arizona State Representative Paul Mosley,
who likes going
140, bragging about it, and he can't get a ticket because of this ridiculous immunity law for state senators or state representatives.
Right. I hope that the DPS chief would blast a state legislator who brags about going 120, 140. I mean, there is no conscious reason to do that, and then to brag how many times you've done it just seems stupid. That's the only word I can come up with.
Yeah. So I know that Milstead joined Bruce and Pamela today, and it's tough because cops can't do anything. This guy right now, this Paul Mosley dude, right now, if he wants, could go 190.
If it was in session.
Yeah, but that's kind of a gray area.
Is that a gray area as well?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, they say only in session. Well, this guy's got pulled over 5 or 6 times. And you know what he's starting to do now? Get this. He's an Arizona state representative. He's been voted into office.
Right.
And now he is blocking people who don't like him on social media.
Mm-mm.
By the way, you can't do that.
Uh, federal judge said that violates First Amendment. You cannot, as an elected official,
right,
you cannot block people on Twitter, Facebook, stuff like that. Over Donald Trump starting on his Twitter account blocking people, that's what the basically the judge said.
May 23rd, 2018, Trump's practice of blocking his critics on Twitter was declared unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you're voted into office, you need to hear the good and the bad. So you can't just block out the bad.
Right. Now, you don't have to respond to everybody, but you can't block them.
Right. You're listening to The Big Four at 4, four big blockbuster stories to start the 4 o'clock hour.
The Big Four at 4, Big Story 3.
Some people are saying that certain pills could be the next U.S. drug epidemic. Obviously, we've got an opioid issue in the United States of America, but we're talking about Valium, Xanax. They're among the most sold drugs in a class of widely prescribed anti-anxiety medications. And
talking benzodiazepines.
Some people are saying this could be the next big thing.
Yeah, one of the, and you know, your brother's a doctor. You could certainly ask him. A doctor friend of mine said a couple years ago, people just come and just, I'm anxious, I'm stressed, I just want something.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but, you know, the pill isn't the answer. You also have to manage your stress. You have to manage your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the opioid crisis where people were like, I have pain. Okay, here's 30 pills. But do you know how to manage those pills? Do you understand what it is that these opioids are going to do? Some experts are saying that the stress or anti-anxiety medications could be the new opioid crisis where people get addicted.
Yeah. And again, there are certain times where you can get a prescription like this. And I mean, it'll tell you right on the bottle, you have to be very careful. You can't have, you know, alcohol with it.
Right.
Don't abuse it. You know, if you don't have to take a pill, don't take it.
And
I'm all for taking a pill if I need a pill.
Right,
it's going to make me better.
I misspoke a little bit. I don't mean to say that these are addictive. They are non-addictive. But what people are saying is you keep taking them, taking them, taking them.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, it can cause you a – basically, you want to operate a vehicle – on too much Valium? No, you shouldn't be.
Right.
You shouldn't operate on any kind of drug, but if you have a problem, you're still taking these pills and driving, and that could cause accidents.
You've been listening to The Big Four at 4. We got Big Story 4 on the way.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 4.
Guess who's coming over for dinner? Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin apparently is coming to the White House in the fall. It'll be the second summit between President Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
Hmm.
Okay, so the fallback, or the fallout, I should say, from what happened on Monday, Trump on stage with Putin, taking Putin's side. Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats.
National Intelligence.
He has been outspoken.
Absolutely.
Saying, listen, we have the intelligence. Russia meddled with the election in 2014, and they're still doing so.
Stop contradicting us.
How did he find out that Putin was coming to the White House? It happened on TV.
We have some breaking news. The White House has announced on Twitter.
By the way, this is Andrea Mitchell interviewing Dan Coats on television, director of National Intelligence.
That Vladimir Putin is coming to the White House in the fall.
Say that again.
Vladimir Putin coming
to the...
Did I
hear you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be special.
Where do you start with this? I mean, obviously, the Trump administration stinks about telegraphing or telling people in the administration what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are Dan Coats, and as you pointed out, if you've been telling the president this and this and this all lead to this and you keep contradicting, what is he supposed to say? He's obviously out of the loop. He's obviously not going to think it's a good idea. And it's not a good idea.
No.
Why are you inviting him? Why are you rewarding him? The leader of Russia, why are you rewarding him with a trip to the White House so you can hang out as buddies? We're not buddies.
Mm. Well, again, I don't mind Trump talking to Putin or Kim Jong-un.
And meet on neutral ground.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe you should invite people to the White House. Here's the thing about Putin coming to the White House. It's odd to bring someone into the White House that screwed with our elections in 2016.
Right. Right.
That just doesn't feel right.
Exactly.
I feel like they should talk, but, you know.
Oh, the optics of it are horrible.
Yeah. So Putin's coming to the White House.
And Putin admitted, yeah, I wanted Trump to win. Well, hey, why don't you get a free tour of the White House?
That part I don't mind. But, you know, Trump saying that Putin had nothing to do with it right in front of Putin, that is a mess.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up next, Mac, my father has made me an offer I may not be able to refuse.
Really?
I never saw this coming.
Okay.
Should I take it? Well, I'll tell you the story coming up next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, I mean, in light of the Steve Keim arrest, Cardinals General Manager, you know, what are your rights when you're stopped for a DUI? We're going to talk to Monica Lindstrom about this. I mean, do you answer any questions? Do you refuse the field sobriety test? Monica's going to be here in a couple minutes to discuss that. Mac, I've told you about my parents moving out of their home.
Out of your home, your childhood
years.
Home.
Yeah. My parents got married, moved into their home all those years ago, had three kids. And this is my childhood home, and I went back there a couple weeks ago with my wife, and we helped my parents box up a bunch of stuff.
Right.
My parents have a pretty big house. They've been in it for 50 years. Jeez. They've got a lot of stuff.
Wow.
They haven't cleaned stuff out necessarily. They're moving into a condo that is nice, but it's much smaller. So
they got to downsize.
An enormous amount of stuff has to go.
Yeah.
They're having a sale. Like an estate sale, garage sale, you name it, they're having a sale.
Yeah.
Because they can't bring everything with them. And it's sad. And I talked about that. It's sad. I wish my parents could live there for the rest of their lives. You know, my mom's been struggling with cancer for years. My dad's taking care of her. Now they've got to pick up and move. But it's simply too expensive. The taxes, you wouldn't even believe.
Right.
Okay. I had a call from my father last night. And he says, do you want the car?
The car.
The car.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Did you know what he was talking about?
No. And so my mother doesn't drive anymore. She can't drive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, many years ago, she, I think, wanted to relive a little bit of her childhood, and she got a Corvette.
Oh.
She had one when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Okay. So, obviously, it's been sitting in the garage.
I mean, okay.
You can take it out once in a while, but she can't
right.
get in it.
Right.
My father can't even barely get in it, right?
Right.
Do you want the car? I'm thinking, what do you mean? Aren't you supposed to sell this? Isn't this part of the downsizing? Why are you going to sell it? I think they don't want to sell it, and they'd rather keep it in the family. I think it would make them.
They're
trying to get rid of everything, and I think it hurts.
Right.
My dad said it's been traumatic. Honestly, that's the word he used.
I'm sure.
And I said, he goes, send me the money to ship it, and that's it.
Okay, so just you would basically pay the shipping. Not
buying the car.
Right. You're
paying
for
the shipping
to get it out here.
I don't need a new car. It's not a new car. It's a cool car. How the heck do I turn that down? I think I got to do it.
Mm.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. I keep going in my – it's you know what? You know why this is I'm struggling with this? It's too good.
Too good to be true?
Yeah. Hey, do you want this great car for, you know, $1,000? The shipping.
Would you drive the car?
Sure. But I'm not a guy that needs like five cars or two cars. I mean,
right,
I don't need
it. But I guess the practical side of me says, would you use the car?
Sure.
Or are you just doing your dad a favor taking the car?
No.
If you got the car, could you sell it and make money off of it?
I don't think that would go down as being a very nice thing to do. Would you?
See, that's what happened with my dad. Now, a number of years ago, before I moved out here, I had an old F-150 truck,
right.
And Dad, you know, uses a truck, and he said, you know, whenever you want to let that go, sell it to me. And I said, okay, I'll let you have it for $1,000.
So you sold your dad your truck?
I sold the truck to my dad. I drove it up to him. 2 weeks later, my mom tells me he sold it to a neighbor and made $2,000.
Huh. Well, you got some of the money.
No.
You didn't get the money.
I got nothing.
And how do you feel about that?
Oh, it's still a bone of contention.
You feel
because I was duped. I was taken advantage of
by your own father,
by my own dad. Now this is a little different that your dad is downsizing and giving you what is it, an American classic car, really?
Right.
But if you sold it, would it really hurt your mom and dad? Because if that's the case, then you got to keep it. If you're going to have it shipped out here, then you can't sell it.
You can't get a better deal.
Well, you can't. I guess my point is, too, would you even want to drive it? Would you take care of it?
Sure, why not? I mean, I wouldn't drive it every day.
Right, but you could upkeep all that kind of stuff, maintenance, all that kind of stuff. And take it out for a spin every once in a while.
Right.
Yeah, but don't sell it, man. Oh, that'll cause problems.
Jeez, I can't believe your dad sold the car and made a profit on it.
Yeah, and mom was the one who told me. So now whenever I visit, I have to look at the neighbor and go, that was my truck.
Maybe I shouldn't buy it.
Well, what would he do if you didn't?
Nothing. Doing business with family might not be the best way to do things.
I don't know. Your dad's a good guy. Yeah. I mean,
your dad's a good guy, too. But
no, he's not.
Okay.
Please.
Coming up next.
Yeah.
In light of the Steve Keim arrest, Cardinals GM, what are your rights when stopped for DUI? We'll tell you next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Well, we know that the Arizona Cardinals general manager Steve Keim was arrested July 4th night into July 5th, charged with a DUI. We now also know that he was charged with extreme DUI.
0.19
over a 0.15, that's extreme, not good.
0.20 is super extreme DUI, and that would have been brutal. He was right under that.
Did Steve Keim actually do the right thing by not taking the field sobriety test?
Yeah, what are your rights when you're stopped for a DUI? Joining us now is Monica Lindstrom, Mac and Gatos legal expert. Hello, Monica. Do we have Monica Lindstrom?
All right.
Here we go.
Hung up and tried back.
I don't know if she can hear us.
She probably can't hear us.
All right. Let's try and figure that out.
All right.
All right, Lloyd, put her on hold. Let's figure it out. So in light of the Steve Keim arrest, I think a lot of people, there are questions that come into your mind. What are your questions?
Yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Well, when you're pulled over, do you have to answer anything that the officer questions you about?
If you try to lie, is it held against you later on?
What about refusing the field sobriety test? Let's go back to Monica Lindstrom. Hi, Monica.
Hi, guys.
So let's talk about your rights when stopped for a DUI. First of all, do you need to answer any of the officer's questions?
No, not really. What I tell my clients and what I've told them in the past is you don't need to answer any questions other than giving them your name, because they'll ask your name and your address. And you don't even really have to do that if you just hand them your driver's license, because if you hand them your driver's license, all the information is right there. They want you to talk because they want to see if you have an odor of alcohol on your breath and if you're slurring, right? So you want to keep your talking to a minimum. So the rules that I like to give is kind of think about if you were going to church, right? You're going to be cooperative, nice, calm. You're not going to lie, but you're not going to talk very much. That's what you want to think about.
All right. What are your rights when stopped for a DUI? Monica Lindstrom is joining us, Mac and Gatos legal expert. Steve Keim, didn't he refuse the field sobriety test? Should you refuse it? And if so, why?
He did. And yes, you should refuse all the field sobriety tests because you're not going to pass anyway. They're very subjective. One officer can think that you passed them. Another officer could think that you failed them. And if they're asking you to go through the field sobriety test, like the walk and turn, the one leg stand, the finger to nose, the eye test, they're already thinking you're intoxicated. And that's just going to give them more evidence. Even completely sober, it's unlikely you'll pass them. So you can refuse all of those.
Even if you're completely sober, you're not supposed to pass these?
Walking in a straight line?
No, you likely can't pass them.
Even if you're sober?
Yeah, you one leg stand. How many people aren't going to sway a little bit? Mm-hmm. You know, your finger to your nose. Well, it's actually your fingertip, not the pad of your finger, but 99% of the people out there will touch the pad of their finger to the nose. Well, that's a problem right there.
Gotcha.
The walk and turn, you know, there'll be something wrong with that, or you'll, you know, screw up the steps, or you'll stop, or you'll stutter or something. So there's always something there. So you can refuse all of those, including the handheld breath device, including the eye test where they want you to follow the pin. Refuse all those, but be cooperative and nice and calm. Now, when they want to take you to the station or to a DUI van and they want to draw your blood or have you breathe into the large machine, and when I mean large, I mean it's a big machine. It's not a handheld one, so you'll know the difference. Your choice is, if you don't take the test, they'll get a search warrant anyway and you'll lose your license for a year. So you might as well take that test so you don't lose your license for a year.
Which test, though? The blood or the big machine?
Either one. They won't likely give you both. It'll be blood or breath. And more agencies go with blood because it's more accurate.
Gotcha. Okay. We're talking to Monica Lindstrom, Mack & Gatos legal expert, on what exactly are your rights when you're stopped for DUI. This is kind of nitpicky, but if you don't tell them your name, you just hand them your license, and they say, have you been drinking? And you say no.
And you have.
Which is a lie.
Okay.
Are you obligated to answer any more questions, or can you plead the fifth on how much did you drink or any other questions? Like, if you answer one question, do you have to answer them all?
No, not at all. You can stop talking at any point in time. The best thing to do is, if they ask for your name and you want to give them your name, give them your name, give them your license, and say, I'm not going to answer any questions. I want to speak to my attorney. Now, that, of course, will raise a red flag,
but it's
better because you're letting the officer know that you want your attorney. And then if the officer continues to ask you questions about where are you coming from, how long have you been driving, did you eat, have you drank anything, then you can say again, I politely refuse to answer your questions, and I would like to speak to my attorney. Because they're not supposed to ask you any more questions after you say that.
All right, Monica Lindstrom, Mack & Gatos legal expert. Thanks, Monica.
Bye, guys.
Because the one thing you have to remember, too, is that anything, and they say it can be used against you.
Right.
And if you lie, that's the first thing they're gonna point to if you have to go to court over this.
Like, if you refuse the field sobriety test, aren't you basically saying you're guilty?
If you fail it or you don't take it.
If you don't take it.
Yes, yes.
Because you're probably not going to beat it anyway.
But that's shocking to me, because you would think, as a sober person, you could pass
tough.
It.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Yeah.
I mean, walking in that straight line. When the cops say, can you do the alphabet backwards?
I can't do that
normally.
I can't
do it written down in front of me.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, coming up, big soccer game at the University of Phoenix Stadium. Traffic is a mess. We'll give you the latest on the 5 o'clock KTAR News expansion. 15 minutes of commercial-free, nonstop news, traffic, and weather is all next.